This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
To you by Health Plans, your Medicare Plans Insurance Solutions and Resource Agency. We have a variety of plans and products that fit your needs, benefit requirements, and budget, with many low or no-cost premium plans, zero co-pays, and much more. Our licensed benefits advisor's priority is your health and well-being. Call us today and book your no-obligation consultation. 1-929-367-5269. Coming up next is Double Impact.
Well.
Well, we are back. I am John C. Morley here, and I'm with
Hurricane Age.
And together we make up
Double Impact,
baby.
That's it, baby. Welcome back to Monday.
Yes, welcome back. We missed you last week. We did miss you.
I know. Hey, listen, got to take care of business.
Wi-Fi doesn't quite work in those other countries, right?
No, it doesn't. And by the way, we are live in Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. So,
all right.
Yeah, we got a party going on. This is everybody's show. So chime in.
Tell us, how your day's going. Ask us some questions. You know, be interactive with us.
Yeah, this is your show. Double Impact is really for you guys. And we chat, and we don't have a script for it. So we're talking about different things. And again, you got John with years and years of experience in different businesses. So if you want to learn about business, just hit us. He can give you all the tips that you need. And, you know, that believe and achieve thing that he has, that's the motto. And let's talk about that anytime. So that's one way. And
absolutely. That's what we're hearing this week. We got a great show this week. This week, we're talking about AVK. I won't talk too much about it, but this whole week is dedicated on what AVK is. And I'll just tell you briefly, auditory, visual, and kinesthetic. And so many people, including professors and teachers, believe that students are lazy, but they're not. They just don't teach to the right modality.
Well, that we could have a whole discussion about the topic.
We could have a discussion on anything.
That's right. Well, you know, folks, if you have any, suggestions, comments on that, you know, topic, we can chat and
chime in.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you have kids and you're not sure about the school and how it works and whether the kids are getting the right education and or the format, hey, maybe this is a discussion we can have. I mean, we all have our own, views on this particular topic. So,
and it's not just kids, HH. I got to tell you, it's adults too, because, you know, a lot of adults want to go back to school and they want to learn. I always like to keep learning, but some people are like, I finished college and I'm done. So I always say to people, and you're going to hate me for this, everyone, but, you know, just deal with it. This is raw. If you believe that your life's education is ended when you've graduated high school or college, well, you're a fool. Because education is a lifelong journey. And you should enjoy education and what it can do for you, but what it can do for others. And if you're saying, hey, what's it going to do for me? Well, each bit of education that you rack up in your brain, okay, you create more connections from the left side to the right and right to the left. But in addition to that, you open up the pathways for more energy and for more potentials to make more money.
Well, you know, that is huge because, to your point, education, right? There's the formal education. There's the, I guess, the lifelong expertise, formal mm-hmm. and informal pieces that you can have. I mean, you can obviously get continuing education or get a master's degree and go beyond to a PhD if that's what you want. Or sure. Even some people have multiple master's degrees, you know, in different, you know, I guess, industries and different, I guess, types of, you know, ways of education. And then you have the informal education, which you can have. I mean, today with the technology we have with the Google and everything, you can literally learn anything every time, anywhere. And there's no limit to that. And there's experts everywhere that are providing some sort of education platforms out there. I mean, podcast is a good way. You know, you got another, you know, form of education through even, I mean, YouTube. I mean, you think that that's just for fun, but there's some real stuff going on there. And some people actually come on and talk about things. Now, this may be not structured, you know, education, but it will be stuff that you can learn depending on whatever topic you want. So there's all kind of stuff. And then there's the practical stuff, right, John? I mean, the stuff that you learn absolutely. At work and you know, by really doing things. So, and I think that's the best way to learn in addition to theory is your practice. So
I think the challenge with a lot of people is they had a bad experience with learning. And I can speak to this because when I was in college, I had a bad experience. Actually, in high school, I had a bad experience. I never liked math. I love math. I'm an engineer. But I hated math in the beginning. The reason I hated math so much was because my teacher was teaching in only a visual modality. Mm-hmm. And I am an auditory and a kinesthetic person. And she kept saying, well, John's just lazy. He doesn't want to do anything. My parents were like, no, I don't think he's lazy. I really don't think he does really well in science. He gets, yeah, well, we're not a science kind of class. We're not a physics class. We're a math class. So my parents are like, well, maybe you should change the way you're teaching it. Are you trying to tell me how to run my class? Well, if the students aren't, you know, comprehending it, maybe it's not the students. Because I know he's not the only one that has challenges understanding your class. And everyone else that taught him math in the past, he seemed to like, but when he got to your class, he seems to hate it. Well, that's because he's lazy. No, he's not lazy.
You know, John, you're bringing up a great topic there because sometimes people are judged, you know, and at any given time, to your point, you might have a different way of learning, and everybody is unique in their way. And to Absolutely. Your point, not everybody, and unfortunately, that's the way it's taught. I mean, it's just one format in general, and it's blanket for everybody, right? And some people catch on quicker. Some people have, you know, I guess they enjoy it that way, and some people may not. To your point, if you are auditory, that's one thing. If you have mm-hmm. visual, is one. Sometimes you combine mm-hmm. both. I like the visual effect myself. Like, you know, that's how I like something that's
animated. So we have to make sure that we paint a very clear picture for you to see.
Exactly. and for you, we want to make sure you get the whole concept and you can hear it well and just kind of absorb that whole information, right?
But I think that's important. It's if you notice what we did there, everyone, we know what the modalities are, but it's also the words you use to kind of tickle the brain, because the words are the precursor that get the pump to prime to listen. That's kind of how it works. You know, you could say we could do something auditorily, but when you talk about it and use those words, it's going to excite the brain. Like, oh yeah, this is something I can really clip on, you know, grab onto. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a slight challenge for some people because they feel they don't understand something, but it's not that they don't understand it. It's that it's a different language. And I'm going to give you an example. So right now you and I are talking English, okay? Let's assume some of our viewers don't speak another language. Parlez-vous français? Je m'appelle John. Et vous? Okay, so nobody knows what the heck I just said, right? When I talk to you in English, you get what I'm saying. I said my name is John and you. But you had no clue what I was saying. So when we talk in the right language, we pay attention. Learning modalities are about using the language. Now, see what I did there? Not language just in words, but language as in how we communicate to the brain. It's not just about, I use the analogy of French and English, but a language is not just have to be in the words. It can be in the manner in which it's taught. For example, if you are in a factory and you're teaching people how to load boxes with candies, and you tell them how to do it one way. There was this wise person, I have to share this, and he says, you know, tell me what you want and I may forget. Show me and I may not remember. Involve me and it'll become a part of my life. So do you get involved? And here's a real one that's going to send you for a loop. When you go buy a car, I'm not going to get into the whole detail, but when you go buy a car, did you know there's a language pattern that actually unlocks you buying that car, insurance, whatever it is. Everyone has a language pattern for everything in life. The problem is most salespeople don't take the time to get to know the person. So if let's say you bought a car, the first thing I'm going to ask you, HH, is, so HH, you bought a car. When's the last time you bought a car or leased a car?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
January and February.
Oh, so two times, January, February of 2022.
Yeah, okay. Both cars got, you know, renewed. I mean, they were
turned. Okay, so. All right. Well, that's good. So just curious, when you went to go, check out that car, what was it that first made you want to make that purchase? Was it something you saw? Was it something a salesperson said? Or was it a feeling you got in the room? What made you want to go plunk the money down for that car?
For me, it would be the feeling. I mean, if I don't get the vibe, it's over.
and the feeling of what? Did you like how safe it felt? Did you like the thrust? What did you like? What feeling were you going for?
Well, again, if the right car, the right price, and the right attitude. I mean, I would say, that's a combo for me.
So the feeling. What did you feel when you noticed that car? What did you sense inside your body? What did you really drive home?
That's the car. That's the one.
That's the car. Did you feel safe? Did you feel like that's me? What was going through? Talk us through a little bit. What was going through your mind when you said that's my car? What did you feel like? Tell us, because we can't feel inside you. What did you feel like?
Well, safety is first, right? And so it had to have everything that I look for in the vehicle. So
security, I mean, you wanted that sense of security.
That's
your,
right.
You and your family could feel safe. And so after you know that car was the one for you and it's going to make you and your family and loved ones be safe, what's the next thing? Something someone said? Something you saw?
No, it was just a deal.
They
had to put the right terms for it.
So I had to put the right terms. So was it something, was it when you heard it from the salesperson's mouth?
No, it's when I put all the numbers together and it made sense. I mean, it wasn't.
And was that on paper?
That's right. You got to put a pen to
paper. So I understand, HH, that you know, you're looking for another car and you just bought two. And I understand that. And I know today you're looking for a car. And I know that you're a gentleman that wants to get a car that is just going to protect you. And this XYZ not only has the latest and best security standards on the market that exceed the federal standards, it has some numbers that once I put on the screen, I think you may want to take her home.
I like
what you're ready to buy that car, aren't you?
I am.
So
show me the money.
So your pattern, okay, basically was a kinesthetic. So you were kinesthetic, okay? Mm-hmm. Then you were a visual. And the last one you really didn't say, but we figured it out, was an auditory. So you were KVA. So somebody's trying to sell you a car. If they use KVA, you'll always buy a car. See, that's your key. And there's a key for everything in life. It's a relationship, but most people don't take the bloody time to figure out what the heck he's talking about. I just want to sell the car. There was a guy today, and you guys know I own a printing marketing company, and you know it was time to upgrade equipment, unfortunately, because they're going to charge me more money to actually maintain the old one than the new one.
Get a new one, yep.
So I said to the gentleman, I said, I'm not looking to buy a new Ferrari or help you finance yours. I'm looking to get something that's going to help me grow my business without it costing me any more money. So I talked to the guy and I said, you know what would be really great? But I know you probably can't help me. I would love to get that machine for the cost of the maintenance and just own it. Even if the machine wasn't brand new, even if it came off a lease hypothetically, but I could have that sense of mind that I had 24-hour support on that machine without any more money than just a few clicks. He starts sitting back in the chair. He says, well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. We actually have two such and such coming off of leases from a neighbor of yours down the street. And, you know, if I could intercept that truck, there might be a way to make that happen. And he gives me a number, and I'm like, that number's just a little bit north of what I was looking for. If we could get just a little bit south, I think I could do it. But you know what really would drive it home for me? See, now is the holidays, and it's not the busiest time for us. I wish I could have 3 or 4 months, you know, that I could just have it and then be able to pay it later. Well, we have a 90-day deferral. Oh, you do? So I said to him, get me the numbers on paper. And I said, then I want to come down and see this machine, how it operates. But you see, the most people don't realize is that when you get into a machine and a machine's too old, a machine becomes your cash register. But if you can't run it, how do you make money? And this is in all things. There was a situation where, you know, somebody had a let's call it a tool that they need in their business for a long time. And that tool was working, but it was costing them more money to keep that tool just to barely operate. And the new tool would actually be less money and have a service contract behind it. So it costs more money to maintain the old tool than to get a new tool and stay up with something later and be cheaper per whatever usage. So I think a lot of times people, you know, they're all about what's going to put money in my pocket. Now, there's nothing wrong with that from one perspective, but there is. And that is, if you're more concerned about me as an object, as a dollar. So I kept throwing to him like, yeah, I know what you're interested in. You're just interested in getting in my pocket for more money. Well, no, that's not actually the case. I said, well, if it's not actually the case, then prove me wrong. Because most people will tell you, oh, no, I'm not really. Well, if you're not after that, then come to the table with me. Make me an offer that I can't refuse. And they shut up. See, that's the most important thing. When you give them what you want, you have to shut up.
I love it. Yeah, go ahead, John.
No, okay, he who speaks first when you've made the deal loses. I'll stay silent for 5-10 minutes. Look, are you still there?
Knock, knock. Hold on. We got some sound effects here. oh, my goodness.
Nothing is easy, but you know, when you, and the other thing I do too, is I tell the people, look, you know, I said, first of all, you're going to hate me. Number one, I said, and it's nothing personal, but I'm going to tell you why I have a bad taste in my mouth with your industry. Let me tell you how they've screwed me in the past. And then I make them feel very bad. I'm like, so I want to make sure that the next company I bring on board, I'm able to bring to my table and we can break bread together. Are you that person that's going to bring that loaf of bread to my house? They just laugh. So people that don't care about you are going to want to get off the phone very quickly. This guy was on the phone with me for an hour and a half, just hearing me moan and groan about different things. But he's going to work for the sale. he's going to work for it, because he's looking not on today's sale. He's looking on the sale he's going to get from me in 2 years, which could be over $1 million. So that's why. And I said to him at the very beginning, I said, you know, the people that help me today are going to be with me a few years from now. And as I grow. And what was happening is that I called all these companies to help me. You know, not one of them called me back because my machine was too old and they didn't want to get involved. But rather than trying to help me, they just blew me off. See, I think that's bad. That's if I can't help you, HH, or you can't help somebody, hey, you know, John, I don't cover that. And I have someone that I know you should talk to who could help you because I can't write a policy in that area. Make sense?
Very much. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to you, John, but right now, just in this exercise, we've done quite a bit here, you know, in terms of communication education right there. So we've done the role play, which we didn't wing. And that was interesting because really it was nice. Like, you know, doing your surveying of me and kind of doing your probing and breaking the ice a little bit. And then you went into like some of the way to negotiate business and really get stuff. But also you highlighted, you know, almost like the do's and don'ts in a very short way of what would someone do wrong and not get a deal versus someone who would do something right and get the deal. And you introduced the idea of being patient as a salesperson. You have to actually listen and just go with the flow and try to get to understand your customer well enough. And don't look for the quick fix and the quick
exactly.
deal.
Exactly. Yep. And I would tell you another thing. Get rid of the hat term salesperson. If you think you're a salesperson, that's all you are. Nobody wants to buy from a salesperson. I don't. You don't. Right? I want to buy from someone who's a consultant, someone who's concerned about my best interests of mine.
You know, it's funny because you probably know this, but salespeople are the second most hated people after lawyers, apparently. Well, at least that's
why I didn't become a lawyer, because I said to people, I can't lie for a living. And every lawyer I talked to, I said, I went to pre-law, but I just decided I couldn't lie to people for a living. And they just kind of like,
well, I mean, I guess you know, some do, some don't. But the fact of the matter is a perception.
They twist the truth a little bit. And lawyers that are ethical, okay, are going to state the case. Because I always feel that if you're going to win, you got to win that case based on what's truth, not by what's slightly untruth. I'll give an example. I've known people that have sped, unfortunately. I'm not a speeder. And they got a brand new car. And let's say the speed limit's, I don't know, 55. And they're doing, or let's say it's a neighborhood. And the neighborhood speed, it's supposed to be 25. Yep. And they're doing 30, 32, 33. Mm-mm. Wee, 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 wee. They get pulled up. They get a ticket. Okay. And the first thing that goes through people's mind is, oh my gosh, I wasn't speeding. How did? So instead of saying that, you know, this was my fault, here's what they do. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong, but I think this is a little bit pushing it. They get to the court and, you know, it's a brand new car. Okay. So they say, you know, this new car has a different type of spring mechanism on the gas pedal. And because of that, it causes a different amount of pressure to be noticed when you touch it, which is not absolutely untrue, but I think that's a reach. Like, you should know how to freaking drive your car within a week or two. The car was not a week old. The car was 6 months old. Now, I could have bought that in the first month or two. I could have bought that, but not 8 months out. There's a different type of spring in the gas pedal, and it has a lot less viscosity in it. So when you press it, it goes down faster.
You know, John, they call that technicality, right?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people go down with technicalities or, you know, make it through because of those technicalities and, you know, the low. And as they say, right, you know, it's a very famous, I guess, expression. You don't find the justice in the court of law, you find the law. And the law has loopholes built in. And as long as you know how to navigate the laws, you can make it happen.
Look at the, look at those people. It was out in the West or South a long time ago. And this guy, it was a famous movie. Danny, and basically what happened, the two boys, they basically were at this sack of suds, this store, and they got arrested because they were the ones that they said held up the store. And after back, forth, they discovered that Pinto could have never made those kind of marks in the tire. And how could you ever have known when you yourself said that when you make grits, you don't rush grits in the South? So how could you possibly have known that it was only 30 seconds when you yourself said you were still making the grits? And try these glasses on for me. How many numbers? Show the court. She's holding up two. No, I'd like to do it again, but I'd like Mrs. Green. Oh, of course. Let the court know she's holding. No, I would like her to answer. Oh, I'm sorry. Three. Oh, maybe I do need glasses. That's two. So maybe you potentially didn't see what you thought you saw.
You know, John, I think it, you missed your calling there, baby.
You know, I do law. I do law from the legal standpoint. I've had four kids arrested in the last 6 years, and I've been brought in to do expert testimonies. I just had one. I don't know if I told you. I can't give you the name. We've sued Facebook actually 12 times in the last 4 years, and we've won. Not me, but for the client. Mm-hmm. And I hit him with the jugular. I don't play games, but I go after their investors and I let them know what's going on. And they don't like that. But I'll tell you one thing, they don't mess with me. Because they use all these robots and all these different things. And it's just interesting because, you know, I had a guy who works for corporate protection security company where they do like guard service. Mm-hmm. They came to me because their Facebook got hacked. Not only did their Facebook get hacked, this is the funny part. He is in a different marriage. Okay, he's entitled to do that. So he's talking to his ex-wife through Facebook chat. I don't know why, but he's just, I guess because the kid just checking. And he's asking how they're doing. And he says, oh, they're doing fine. I just wish I had enough money to buy them food. So what about your husband? Well, you know, he really doesn't give us much. He's making tons of money, but he doesn't give us like enough to get food. So how much do they need, the boys in the clothes? So he gives her $500. Within a week or two, her husband finds out about it, immediately gives the money to her so he can pay him back. But that'd be fine. He hires a person on the undernet, the dark web, this is what's sick, to go after that person that gave the money. Now, not in life, not in like physical reality. He goes to haunt their Facebook
cyber
page. Yep, he goes to haunt the Facebook page, and then he posts something that is very X-rated, and then he reports the page, and it gets suspended.
Then it gets
worse. He hires the same guy who goes in and he goes to his app and he says, you know, we just want to make sure everything's okay, you know, that you're not hacked or anything. Guy called. He went and actually put an ad, get this, online. Get this out. This is how they are. And let's say I know that you're in Spokane, Washington. I'm going to run an ad in Spokane, Washington. I know exactly where you live. So I'm going to triangulate it in there. It might cost me 50, 60 bucks. And I'm going to triangulate it till I hit you. You're going to click on that link in a day or two, and bam, you're going to need tech support. And I'm going to answer one. Thank you for calling tech support. How can I help you? Oh, yeah, sure. Happy to help you. Now you're into my web. Now he's trying to help him. He's like, okay, let's get through your phone. Why don't we check your phone, make sure they didn't get in there as well. What I need you to do is log into your whatever bank such and such account. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to send $669 to your friend. I don't need, just send it to your friend, okay? Now, 669 is a devil number. Sends the money out, friend gets the money. He says, this is nonsense. I'm just going to say, okay, have your friend send it back. He sends it back. He sends 700 back. Within 5 seconds, he goes, son of a, I just bought $700 worth of Bitcoin. How'd that happen? So when the money came back in, he was monitoring it going out. When it came back in, he grabbed it. This case took about 2 weeks to resolve to get his $10,000 back. Damn. But the point I'm trying to make here is that people that are, what should we say, off their rocker or have these big egos, they think they can go to the dark web and they can pay them money and then they can just go bring somebody down, which I think is just terrible. But there are people out there that do that. I have a very good friend of mine who's been on my show a lot of times. He's a national psychologist. And I brought him on my show several times and we always talk about different things. And he had a post the other day and I responded back to him. I said, you know, I said, doctor such and such. And I said, you know, I said, I had a situation. I said, there is a financial analyst. I said, and it's always these people. They think they have an ego bigger than the creator and that nothing, like, it doesn't matter. And that the only time they really care about anything is when it's about them making money, because the attitude was, I don't have time for people. Who says that, HH? Who says, I don't have time for people? Right?
Good question.
But I've noticed, no disrespect to the industry, the number one industry, okay, now if you're in the financial industry, mea culpa to you. I'm sorry. But basically, there's been a lot of people in the millennial age and coming in now that are exploiting people, because in the financial age they think their stuff doesn't stink, and they're also the people that believe they can job hop every 6 months because they think they can, and they do. But you know what really bothers me, HH? Not the fact that they hop jobs. What bothers me is you're now the the assistant such and such of risk management. Now you have interns working under you, and they work on your project, which is great. They get some experience. I suddenly go into the boardroom to give my presentation. And now there's a problem with the presentation. Okay. Well, what do you expect? I didn't do it. You know, somebody else did it. There was an intern. You know, of course it's not going to be any good, you know, but I want to give them a chance to work on the project. So just throw them under the bus. Okay. Okay. Now they do an amazing job. Like, you know, Tim, that was such an amazing presentation. I know. What else would you expect? I am a Fordham graduate. And the same task was done by an intern.
Enough said.
That's a problem, HH.
It is. It is. I mean, listen, John, you're alluding to a few things here, I think, for our audiences, just to clarify some of the stuff. I mean, it's probably not a secret to people that watching right now, listening, and whatever they might be, and whether today or some other time. But you mentioned something about the issue that you had with these almost hackers or people that are actually trying to...
I deal with them every day, and that's why people come to me. People that do protection for corporate companies, I can't give you the names, but let's say you're at a company. Mm-hmm. And what they do, HH, is they go there to basically do crowd control, but they do the, let's say there's some kind of negotiation, but I don't want anybody to come in to kind of cause me flack. They're standing right at the door. They're at the company. Can we help you? Yeah, I want to see the prep. Okay, well, do you have an appointment? No. Okay, well, we'll let them know you came by. They kind of deflect that so there isn't any issues. One of these guys that does that for a living came to me to get him out of the hack world.
Well, again, listen, you mentioned the dark web, and it's pretty powerful. So there's some cool people out there or whatever, cool that being, you know.
I won't give a cool. I'll say they're pretty sick.
Well, I'm saying that's, I mean, facetious, but you know what I mean? They think they're cool, but some of them are pretty good at what they do and they know what to do and they cause trouble. And, you know, some people actually, even the basic folks, they're not even that savvy or tech savvy, but they do this. I mean, for example, on social media, it's pretty common that if I don't like you, John, what I'll do is I'll get a few bunch of people that are, you know, that I'm familiar with and have them all report your site, whatever,
right,
or your page. And that's all it takes to actually get your stuff down.
But it has to be something. So here's what happens. When it gets reported, there has to be something on there that's going to be a problem. If I just report you and there's nothing on there, I have to first put something on there. Otherwise, my credibility is going to go down the tubes.
Well,
so there has to be something on there that is bad, and then it will be shut down once it's looked at.
Well, but to be honest with you, John, I've seen it and I've heard about this, you know, firsthand, where, you know, people had the very unique, just a normal, whether it's an Instagram or YouTube or whatever, when people get together and there's a whole gang that is pretty much ganking up against you, and, you know, like 20, 30 complains about the page, reported page. I mean, like, we all get that report, right? And they tell you what it is, but you can select whatever. And then ultimately, you get shut down first, and then you go, you have to fight to prove that you're actually innocent. And
that's the challenge. And you only have so many days or the account's going to be canceled. I can't say how many times on Facebook now, we use all licensed music, we write all music. Do you know how many times we get a file in a month telling us that our music has been blocked because we violated? I'm like, violated what? It's our content. We wrote it. Well, our system thinks it's similar to this. How is it similar to that? It's not even in the same key. It's not even in the same, like, not even the same, like, genre of music. It's not even the same metronome.
I've had some.
And then they come back and they're like, your dispute has been dismissed.
Oh, I've had those.
That's annoying.
I know. Well, actually, not even music. I mean, I've had content that had nothing with music. It was just a show. And they said, this is like, you know, copyright. I was like, what copyright? It's me. It's my show. I'm the one who's talking. There's nobody else.
We put a logo on a site to submit for something, one of these freelancer sites. They came back in 6 months and said that we violated term number 37 or something using content that's not our own. We found it on the web. I said, yeah, it's on the web, but we created it. Yes, it's on the web, but we're the originators of it. Well, our AI bot doesn't see you as the originator. We created the thing. Well, we need your original file. I'm not giving you the original AI file. Get the heck out of here. Okay, well, without that, we have to block your account. Well, go ahead. Go pound salt. I'm not going to give you the original AI content. So you guys can screw me with it, and you're in another country, and you're going to go, no, I don't think so.
Well, again, I mean, it's you're bringing some good points for people that are watching and listening. I mean, because I'm sure if you're a creator out there, you probably can face these things. And it is brutal because some people actually get shut down. Their the whole work that they do for a couple of years can be just eliminated in a split second. And it's very difficult to communicate back with, you know, a lot of these.
Absolutely. Companies. National Content Creators Week, everyone. The 1st to the 8th, National Content Creators Week. This is it. We had a day a few months ago, but this is Content Creators Week. So when you're creating content, it's important that you create original content. You don't steal people's content. If you're going to use people's content, get permission or make sure you cite them. Like this doctor, he said something about odor. Mm-hmm. And you might have you ever heard the word odor before?
All the time?
No, not that odor.
Okay.
Okay. So odor, which is offline, dictates online response from Dr. Nicitelli. But whenever I use it, I always credit him. And okay. I always put that in my thing. And he thanked me for crediting him. I mean, that's just the right thing to do. Not because I'm a journalist, but I really take what I do in delivering content is something that I want to do to be at the highest level of integrity, you know? And I get people telling, hey, John, you know, well, what if you wrote it like this? Well, why would I write it like that? Well, is that the way it happened? No, but it would just be interesting. Why? Well, it'd just be interesting to hear what people say, but why would I lie? Well, no, it would just be interesting to hear that. I said, but that would be dishonest. You know, it would, but it would just be interesting to hear what kind of responses you get. I'm not interested. Like, what if we gave you $100? What if we gave you $5? No, I'm not interested. Like, see, I have an ethical, moral obligation when I write something. Oh, you're one of those wacky people.
Actually, John, you know, there's nothing wacky about that. I mean, you're doing the right thing. I mean, if you're going to use some name or some quote or whatever, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, you're using it in a contest of like right now we're talking, right?
And yeah, and I mentioned the credit to the, yep.
Exactly, refer to somebody, and actually it's prompts to them, so it's all good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's only when you take, like, you know, you make it like it's yours, right? And you, it's almost like you adopt that thing, and you discount the person or the creator, of the original creator, and that's a problem. So it's crazy.
Now that can happen in error, you know, innocently. But if you're doing it on a regular basis, so when you create content, you have to make sure that the music you use, even the audio, like our audio program. You can't just take this and just pop it into your own thing. This isn't a TikTok. This isn't an Instagram where you can just magically match the reel into your own. It doesn't work like that. You see, people's original content is original content for a reason. And so if you want to use that content or mix it into something you do, you have to give the show or the people credit for it because, again, it's dishonest. So I think what I'm trying to say here is National Creators Week is that when you create content, you also have to make sure your content, your hashtags are relative to what you create. If I'm creating content and motivation, I suddenly put popcorn in there, but I don't have anything to do with popcorn, but I know popcorn sells at the holidays. That's kind of being dishonest.
John, just a quick note. I don't know if you hear it. There's some static.
No, I didn't hear anything on my end. Nothing. I'm Crystal Isabel.
I'm hearing some static, so I don't know why, but I hope it's not in the feed here.
It's not in the feed. It might just be on your end, maybe just a local amp. I mean, I'm not getting anything here.
I guess we're talking about hacking. I don't know what's going on. I guess I got bugged already. What's up? Damn, that's pretty good. Yeah, what's up, guys? Oh, man, you had to have
stuff. So, speaking about that, you know, I get these people sometimes on the show. Look, we even had it, but when the shows grow, you get these people to try to come in and do all these comments. And I don't get mad. I'm like, so, you know, we do screen our contests before we put them on the air. So for those of you guys that are just coming in here and just pasting your obscenities, we're going to put you in a timeout. But then I say, you know, I feel really bad that you have a life. You have to stoop so low to just get some feelings of recognition. There's nothing in your life that you enjoy living that you have to just triple over people's content to try and improve lives. I feel sad for you. I hope you someday that you find your purpose in life. And these people, they just like, they go nuts. And I think, what's that?
No, No, I didn't lose me. It's just the static.
It's on your end, and it's probably in the local amp because I'm not hearing any of it through the feed.
No, that's good. As long as it's not, you know, it's not affecting.
It's not feeding anybody. It's unfeeding anybody.
Hey, guys, if you're watching, hey, tell us if there's a noise here.
Beside us. But so I think those are the things. And, you know, you're going to get these crazy people that are kind of come in and try to, you know, bomb your chats and things like that. You're going to get that. And I think, you know, and I've gotten some people in when I did my IFL show. You know, I'm saying happy to help. But then they come in with their obscenities or they come in and I'm like, it doesn't seem like you're really serious about improving your life. It sounds like you just think life's a joke. And frankly, my time's worth more than that. So I'm going to move on to someone else. And I think you just have to treat people in a respectful manner. I think that's really the key. And if you are someone that feels called to create content like we do, I think you have to understand what your purpose is. And I think you have to be consistent with what you do, know why you do it. And if you get someone that tries to rain on your parade, don't have a heart attack with them. Just like, you know, you can respond to them, you can ignore them, you can block them, but they'll probably still come back under another IP. But what I always say to do is to communicate with them with love and kindness. Now, usually what happens is they just go away. If you're nasty and rude, they're going to try to just cause more damage to you. So I always say to them, hey, you know, I feel really sorry. Sorry your life's not going the way you want. And this is how you feel that you can make yourself important. I just hope and pray that someday maybe you'll be able to do things that are going to make everybody happy.
You know, John, you're making an interesting point about the prison of some people that, to your point, they might have nothing else to do. And they just, to your point, they just literally crap on your stuff. And for no reason, sometimes just because they just can and they're still going there. And that's okay. You know, people have entitled their opinion. But, you know, for me, this is how I look at it. If I don't have anything good to say, I don't have to be watching, right? I just move on to the next, you know, and that's it.
Right. You move on. Everybody has a right to a comment, and but if that comment's going to be negative, or it's not what I call constructive criticism. Now we all know the difference. Constructive criticism is when you make a comment with the intent to improve someone else. Okay, if you're making a comment to just diss on them, well, that's not constructive criticism. That's just you being a jerk.
And then, you know, unfortunately, you got the good ones and you got the bad ones. It's a pretty mix out there. And but listen, at the end of the day, to your point, you said something very simple and powerful as always, which is keep going. You keep putting the right content in there. And it's for the purpose of educating and helping people. We started this discussion with education, right? And, you know, it's about information and educating and enlightenment. And sometimes inspiration and motivation. I mean, believe it or not, these are my mottos, you know, my mission in the network here. But the fact of the matter is, it is just about that. Every time you listen to something, a show, it doesn't matter. You watch something, you're going to learn some things. And you can filter the good, the bad, whatever you want. And if you can extract one piece or two pieces in each, I guess, episode, then you're good. I mean, that's good. I mean, imagine if you watch 10 shows. That adds up quickly. 100 shows adds up
quickly. Like I tell people, a nugget. You know, try to take at least a couple of nuggets out of the show, because there's a lot that we said.
Yep.
And the one thing you guys might know a lot without getting too into this, but there's something called language patterns, as we were talking about before. So language patterns are developed for the purposes to interrupt somebody. That's why they were created. So a lot of times people will say something like, there may be something that you don't like, or maybe you're trying to create an agreement. So two phrases that I use, and they're really very powerful. Hurricane, have you found that a person with your business and the challenges with all we're going through in the economy makes it important to actually have the right coverage? And increasing your coverage might be a good thing to do at this time, don't you think? So
yes, sir.
To have you found is a very light way to soften it. Or I could say something like this. You know, I'm a person that's positive. But just suppose, that there was some type of accident. I don't wish it, but just suppose there was. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you had that coverage so you could file the claim, get your hot water heater replaced or your ceiling fixed, and not have to have a financial stress about it? Wouldn't that make sense?
I like it.
So those are two very important pattern interrupts. Have you found, it works in relationships, have you found, Julie, that you being free on Saturday night is actually a very good reason that we should actually go on a date?
All right.
Or what I like to do is to just suppose, Julie, you and I were to go have a quick bite or a drink at the local bar. And just suppose that we happen to have a good time. And suppose you may want some more fun. Just suppose we went bowling afterwards. And just suppose we had such a great evening that maybe you invite me back to your place or I invite you back to my place. And just suppose we just hang out for the rest of the evening. What do you think about that? Just suppose. So it's like a very light, it's not happened yet. It's like a, just suppose that you actually got the $1 million deal. Just suppose.
Propositions.
Where would you put that money first? Where would you want to spend it? I've talked about this before, AJ, it's very powerful. Live the feeling of the wish fulfilled. Do you know who said that?
No.
very wise man. Wasn't me. I'm wise, but it wasn't me. Live the feeling of the wish fulfilled. Live the feeling of the wish fulfilled. He's the guy with the ladder. Remember the ladder at church? Does that may ring a bell?
A little bit.
Neville Goddard. Quick story. I know we're almost out of time. He was holding meetings in the back of his church. Okay, could be the back of your synagogue, back of your boys' club, ladies' club, doesn't matter. Okay, but it was a church. And he said to everyone, when you go home tonight, I want you to write down everywhere in your home on paper, I will not climb a ladder. 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 Okay? Everywhere around. Just before you go to sleep, I just want you to imagine climbing a ladder. And you know what he said? Next week, those of you that climbed the ladder, meet me back here at 7 p.m. Those of you that haven't, well, then you just stay home. And the people were like, this is nuts. He just said not to climb a ladder. But he goes, you will climb a ladder. I said, no, I won't. More than half the people came back. They're like, son of a gun. I climbed a ladder. Or they're doing something. You're going, I just climbed a ladder. Jeez. Like, you're going to do it. So if you go there in the mind, we're doing it in the mind, you'll eventually go there in the body.
The mind is smart. The mind is powerful. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, like, curiosity kills the cat type of thing. You tell somebody not to do it, they'll do it. You know?
Well, it's not the not. See, the not was to kind of emphasize your brain not. But when you thought the whole point, you didn't have to do the not. That was just to emphasize to you that you were not going to do it. Like, kept it really, but it did nothing. It was you thinking about climbing the ladder. And then when a day or two, somebody you go up with like, oh, but I just, I just climbed a ladder.
That's a suggestion.
You can even do that with if you're having trouble with weight, I will let's say you can say to yourself, you know, because you're going to do the thing is, I will not go to the gym. I will not eat healthy. I will not eat healthy. I want to eat everything on my plate. You go to bed, you just think about, I'd like to eat healthy and have more energy. Suddenly, start eating healthy. So when you get into a vibe or a rhythm, your body is so attuned to it, likes that feeling. And, you know, days I go off on my thing, but I'm not on a diet. I'm on a lifestyle change. And, you know, I take my Luminet, I do my things, and everything I do, I log. I can tell you something real quick. The other day was National Donut Day. Did you know that?
I saw that. I saw your post.
Yeah, so you're probably saying, how does somebody like me have a donut? And I never had a Krispy Kreme donut in my life.
I have to say that good.
Well, I want a Krispy Kreme donut, but when I looked at the calories, I had a heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
How am I going to do this? So after lunch, I went down to Krispy Kreme. So, by the way, National Donut Day comes twice a year. It comes in June, and it came on November. It was November this past Saturday, which was November 5th. And so the June is given to the people coming back from the war. That's where that one came from. This one they just kind of threw in there to increase the sales of the donut places. That's why they threw that one in there. So I go down to Krispy Kreme. I've never been there before. I went down there. I looked at the calories of the donut. I just had a heart attack. I printed out the sheet. And I went down there. And I brought down a plate. And you saw when I brought – I had two videos. And I brought down – first I had the line. I brought a knife. And I went up to the guy at the counter and I said, you know, today's National Donut Day. He says, no, it's not. Yeah, it's National Donut Day. You know, no, it's not. I said, can I have a free donut? He says, it's not National Day. I said, National Donut Day comes twice a year. Let me show you on my phone. Today's National Donut Day. And the guy's like, what am I doing? He's like, yeah, I don't think I have the coupon for today. I said, no problem. I said, I'll just go to Dunkin' Donuts. And he said, let me check on my manager. He comes back. He goes, what kind of donut you want? Bob, I think I'll take the Krispy Kreme original fill. That's 360 calories. Yeah. So, took that donut, cut in half again. I had 1/4 of the donut that day, 90-some calories. I had another 1/4 the other day, one today, and one more tomorrow. So I had that 1/4 of the donut over like 4 or 5 days. So you can have whatever you want. You just got to have it in moderation. They all thought I was nuts. Now, on Sunday, I don't know if you saw, was National Nachos Day. Now, nachos did not originate in Mexico. I don't know if you guys will know that. Do you know what nachos originated in?
I have no clue, but I'll buy your information legit. Go for it, baby.
No, it absolutely is legit. Everybody says, "Oh, they came from Mexico." No, they didn't come from Mexico. They came just over the border of El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
So I went to Dave Buster's. Had like a 2-prong there. I said I'd have one of the things we're going to be having for the kids event. And I said I'm also going to do a double bang. I'm going to talk about nachos. And that nachos plate I had was 1,000 calories. That was my lunch and my dinner.
Well, you can take up to maybe 1,800 calories a day.
I had my breakfast. I had the Krispy Kreme. And that I had my nachos for my lunch and my dinner.
You're still below, so that's good.
I'm still below. So it's being cognitive. Now, some people say to me, that's a lot of work. Well, I say to myself, okay, there's some effort in it, but I'd rather put that effort in to have a healthy looking body. I mean, I just love the fact of looking at my stomach is above my belt line. I mean, that is just like the be all end all. And then having my stomach hard so I can just almost hit it, that's another great thing for me. And I know that's a good sign of being healthy. Now, one thing we're not going to get into this show, but we'll get into in another show. We started talking about it a few weeks ago. It's called the heart-brain connection. And I'm just going to leave you with this thought, and we'll talk about it another time, maybe next show, maybe the next one, who knows. Your brain doesn't run your body. What is he talking about? Brain does not run your body. Even though it's subconscious, all that stuff, I'll tell you how I know. Well, who runs your body? If your brain doesn't run your body, who do you think runs your body?
Well, based on what you said, probably the heart.
The heart sends more data to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. The heart has its own memory. Try an experiment. Take your left or right hand, whatever you're dominant. Place it over your heart. Left. Okay? Whatever. Okay. So place it over your heart. And now just think about your heart for a second. And now maybe you have a question, like something you want an answer to. Okay. I'm going to ask myself a question. You can ask yourself a question. Now, you could ask the question up here to your brain. And you're going to get an answer, but it's going to be a little foggy, right? It's not quite clear. You're kind of getting back. Now, ask the same question to your heart. Focus a second. Close your eyes if you want. I get a different answer. I get a yes from my heart. From my brain, I get like a, it's kind of, my heart gives me an answer. With all these things jumping up and down. So your heart doesn't need your brain, but your heart's going to send a signal to your brain that says, hey, brain, yeah, this is happening. When you get in cohesiveness with your heart and your brain, you're on board. There's also another connection, which we won't talk about tonight. It's your brain, heart, and gut connection. That's also connected. But so when you have a healthy heart, you have a healthy brain. That's why your heart health is so important, ladies and gentlemen, because if you just had a healthy brain, you didn't have a healthy heart, you wouldn't have healthy processing of your blood, your oxygen. So your heart actually can make decisions in your body. But how many times have you ever asked your heart a question?
I would say probably never.
The only times people ask their heart a question is they're in a relationship. And they sometimes might get to the heart because they're emotional and they'll put their hand there and they don't even know that they're asking the heart. And they're like, is this relationship going to work out? And then they get this feeling, but they think it's the brain, it's the heart, but they do it by accident. imagine what kind of data you could get if you plugged into this, the supercomputer, your heart. Now, the bad news is you can't just do it right away. You got to practice it. And you got to trust it. And your brain's gonna be like, you know what? I'm just going to let the heart ride. I'm just going to just sit in the back seat from now on. I don't need to do it. Let your brain take the back seat. Let your heart run the body.
Well, I mean, some people will call that intuition, gut feeling, sentiments.
So intuition is one piece. But when you've got the heart and you've got that, and now that's in cognizance with the brain, it's going to send all that data back to the brain. If you try it with the brain, it's never going to send it to the heart. And we know that the only way to manifest, I don't care whether you want to manifest a quarter, a penny, $1 million, $1 billion, a new car, a new relationship, new home, new job, it's only going to happen when you use your heart.
I think we're going to have to go deeper on the next one, on that one. Yeah, just because I think we got to lose people here, because they'd be like, well, is there any medical evidence to this, and or physical or physics or, you know, any connection?
Just to tell you, there is. I had gotten many years ago, I know we have to run, many years ago, I bought a heart ring. I bought a biofeedback system in the mall. I remember to this day, I spent, I think it was $149 from some crack place, you know, that was selling them in the mall. They're not there anymore. Knockoff from China or somewhere. But the thing worked for many, many years. They sell the same device now for almost $350 to $400 with a new U.S. name on it. And then they have different ones you could download. The medical doctors are now starting to see that people that have heart-brain coherence actually get connected to things. I'll give you a quick example, and then we have to run. So I was trying to figure out for months, how am I going to get this machine fixed when nobody wants to fix it? So I just asked my heart. I said, heart, what am I going to do? And my heart just suddenly came up with the idea that maybe you can find a machine for free and just pay for the maintenance. And so I just spit that out. The guy says, well, that might be possible. So your heart has the ideas, but most people don't trust the heart because they say, hey, you know, you're just a junior. Like, I'm the brain. Yes, the brain runs the body. Yes, the brain does subconscious and all that. But the real truth of the matter is your heart can actually put your brain into trance. And the way to practice that every day, close your eyes, put your hand on your heart. Just take a deep breath like this. Go to 5, 1, 2, 3. Exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do that about 5 or 10 times, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and you're going to find that your heart is going to develop into a tool that does a lot more than just pump blood and oxygen around your body.
Like I said, we're going to have to go deeper on that one. just so we can, you know, bust the myth and people, like, you know, that they'll be like, what the hell, this, you know, hockey business and whatever. So we just want to make sure that they get it right.
It's not going to happen, though, if you're like, oh, my gosh, I want to turn it on. You can't just turn it on tonight. Once you develop it, your heart is not an on and off switch. So you build a cohesion between your heart and your brain. And then you start to get cognitive of what's going on with them. Just putting your hand over your heart gets you to start connecting with your heart.
I mean, listen, there are so many studies about the body connection and all these elements, and it's deeper than what we think we know. And then that's unfortunately not a common concept for a lot of people, because they're conditioned to this is the only way things work, and that's where they stay, and they don't go beyond. I know we've talked about maybe going one day to quantum physics.
We'll get there. I think we have to get to the heart first and a few other things before we jump there.
Yeah, I think we'll just be like losing everybody at that point. But hey, but it's all good. It's in all good purpose, and that's the bottom line of it, right? We want you to know some stuff, and
you guys know, I don't know if you guys know this, But do you know that I actually, I healed, I broke my tib and fib many years ago, over 5 6 years ago. Healed my tib and fib. I broke it by no fault of my own. The people of the mountain didn't know how to manage the mountain. They gave it to their grandkids. They didn't know anything about the mountain, and the place should have been out of business, and they gave it, and it was just a whole mess. Anyway, that day, 32 people got injured. I was the only person that went to the hospital and didn't have surgery. And that was because I put it in my mind that I wasn't going to have surgery, even though they were forcing me to have it. I healed my brain in less than 2 days with bone knit. Bone knit is our herb. Sugar pill, if you think about it. I took that within 2 or 3 days, my bone healed.
Okay, that's cool stuff.
So that's proof to tell you that the energy, okay, I cured my allergies with homeopathy. People think that that's like some wacky thing. It's not. But you have to believe in this stuff before it will work for you. You have to believe in your heart. You have to trust your heart. And when you do that, it will start to slowly open up pathways to you.
I think we're about to close this chapter with that one. We're just a few minutes over. So, John, you want to close the chapter today?
Absolutely. And, it's always a privilege and pleasure to be with all of our wonderful friends here and with UHH. And I'm John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur. Until the next Double Impact, and I'm with
Hurricane H.
And we are Double Impact.
Yes, sir.
And we're making a difference in your life if you want to change it.
That's right. 1 week at a time. One show at a time. We'll talk soon.
Bye, everyone. Take care. Good night.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.